Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Well, in case you haven't heard the news, gay activists have called for a boycott of Chick-fil-A, claiming that if you eat chicken at Chick-fil-A, you are anti-gay. We'll talk about it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Well, I never thought I'd be talking to you iced in, snowed in from Dallas, Texas. Couldn't get to the studio yesterday. Had to play a repeat show at the last minute. Roads iced up here. I'm here to speak at Christ for the Nations Institute. We've had to cancel meetings, classes for two straight days. Kind of a sheet of ice outside. Wind chill got down to like 0 degrees. And no, I did not come with a heavy winter coat or scarf or gloves. But glad to be with you live today, Michael Brown. Thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or join the discussion on Facebook taking place right now as I speak. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay. I am not bringing this issue to your attention because I have nothing else to talk about. In fact, I want to give you a few further thoughts about what's happening in the Middle East. Later in the show, I want to hear from a former student, a colleague now in ministry, full of fire, full of passion, talking about the role of the evangelist today, which actually ties in with the solution to all of our problems in society, because the solutions to our problems are found in the gospel of Jesus and ultimately nowhere else. But the reason we're talking about Chick-fil-A, an extraordinarily gracious store, or place of business. I have never been to a fast food place anywhere where the people treat you as courteously, graciously, kindly. Maybe you work for other restaurants, fast food chains, and you do your best. Hey, more power to you. But just across the board, I am amazed that the courteous behavior, that they get things right at drive-through, the people within the place actually thank you and you're welcome, and it's just an amazing kind of atmosphere. At least where we are in Concord, North Carolina, they'll have Christian music playing. and in fact, their actual statement, their purpose, corporate purpose, is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. So why the controversy? Well, over the years, they have donated to different organizations that are strong pro-family organizations, and some of those pro-family organizations in recent years have taken stances against same-sex, quote, marriage. I say, quote, marriage, because it's not marriage. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. ABC is not math. 2 + 2 = 4 is not spelling. The same way two men, two women, three men, three women coming together is not marriage, no matter how loving or committed they may be. So Chick-fil-A donated money to one particular organization that had taken stands, rightly so, against same-sex marriage. And as a result of that, gay activists called for a boycott against Chick-fil-A. Now, the solution is expressed your appreciation to them on our website, AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You'll see a link to the Chick-fil-A Facebook page. Just post something positive, appreciative, thanking them for their stand for marriage, family, etc. But things have heated up so much, so quickly. There's so much power in just the announcement of this that Chick-fil-A said, listen, we are absolutely standing by marriage, supporting marriage, but we're not going to get involved in anything political. Some would say that's a fine line, and can you do the one without the other? But it's not the time to to criticize them, this is the time to stand with them and encourage them and say, hey, look, it's fine to take stands for marriage that go on the political realm as well. But that being said, it is extraordinary to me when you have major company after major company supporting, actively giving money to gay activist organizations that are working against many of the values that we stand for. Gay activist organizations that are aggressively wanting gay activism taught to our little children in schools. Gay activist organizations that are going to call you a bigot if you say marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Some of the biggest companies in America supporting these gay activist organizations. And that's fine, because that's the right thing to do. But, oh, pray tell that you would dare say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and woman. We want to stand for that. You're a bigot. You should be boycotted. Do you know how far this has gone? This university in Indiana that when it was found out that Chick-fil-A had donated to an organization that was against same-sex marriage, that Chick-fil-A, a campus ally group, in other words, a gay activist group on campus, said that the campus in Indiana should not allow Chick-fil-A to do food services there once a week, and the university was going to boycott Chick-fil-A because they dare said that marriage is not the union of two men or two women, and they said it just by supporting another group. In other words, there is no other side to the story. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the group called GLAAD, which they say stands for Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, I say stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, they called for a petition against CNN, which is so gay-slanted already in their coverage. They did not want the other side. If there's an expert from the other side that was going to speak, or someone representing a position differing with gay activist goals, that person should not be allowed on the air. Yes, there is no other side to the story. Kevin Jennings, who's been appointed by our president as Safe Schools Czar, gay activist educator, who is the executive director of GLSEN, Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, which I say is better called the Gay Lesbian Sex Education Network, because of what is putting into the hands of students in schools. He made very clear there is no other side to the story in the schools. In other words, by all means have curriculum in the schools. By all means have stuff in the schools that says, you know, to a five-year-old, six-year-old, look, you may not be at home, you know, with your assigned gender. You know, you're assigned to be a boy or a girl at birth, but maybe you're really something else, and you should be sensitive to the fact that, you know, there are families with two moms, two dads. That's good. Well, can we introduce in the schools the possibility that some people can change? No, there is no other side to the story. Okay, before I ask you any questions, before I take your calls, let's get into this a little deeper. I think we've got time to play the clip from Dan Cathy, who is speaking on behalf of Chick-fil-A.
Hi, I'm Dan Cathy, President and Chief Operating Officer of Chick-fil-A. When my father, Trit Cathy, opened his first Dwarf House restaurant in Hapeville, Georgia in 1946, the restaurant had 10 stools and just 4 tables. Dad greeted each customer as if they were the most important customer he had. Maybe that's because they were the only customers he had in those early years. From that very first day, my dad made the decision that he would treat every customer that walked through the door with genuine hospitality. That policy has served our organization well for more than 60 years. Heartfelt hospitality is at the core of Chick-fil-A. We want a welcoming and comfortable environment for all of our guests, and this commitment is a daily focus. Some recent events have called into question the principles of Chick-fil-A and speak directly to the heart of our organization. Last week, one of our local franchise Chick-fil-A operators in Pennsylvania made the decision to provide food to 2 upcoming February events billed to strengthen marriages. Marriage has long been a focus of Chick-fil-A, starting with my own mom and dad, who are celebrating their 63rd year of marriage. In this case, the operator simply agreed to provide sandwiches and brownies for the events, as many Chick-fil-A franchisees have done over the years for community events, businesses, and civic groups. Some have used this small donation of food to suggest otherwise. We are very proud that our Chick-fil-A operators and employees work hard every day to go the extra mile in serving all of our customers with honor, dignity, and respect. Let me be clear, Chick-fil-A serves all people and values all people. Providing food to these events or any event is not an endorsement of the mission, political stance, or motives of this or any other organization. Any suggestion otherwise is just inaccurate. It's unfortunate that there have been confusion about what happened in Pennsylvania. We appreciate your support so much, and we want to continue to serve our customers and the communities with dignity and with dedication. Thank you, and it's our pleasure to serve you.
All right. You know, the thing that is so disturbing to me is that this dear man feels the need to get up and explain what they did when you've got group after group, company after company, supporting gay pride events and every kind of crazy thing happening there. And that's okay. What should we do? What should our Christian response be to Chick-fil-A? Give me a call, 866-348-7884. Back with more. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming away live from icy, snowy Dallas, Texas. The temperature dropped in a four-day period, 70 degrees, roughly, you know, getting down to the lowest wind chill. But we're live and well. Glad to be on the air with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay. As we've been talking about gay activists who called for a boycott of Chick-fil-A, the outrageous nature of this is that there is massive corporate support for gay activism. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, will give you ordering information very, very shortly about that, about the book in the coming days. But meticulously documented, written with compassion, but meticulously documented. 700 pages, including almost 100 pages of endnotes. You can pull out any one chapter. Don't worry if you're not a reader. You can pull out any one chapter on subjects of interest, read it. It'll be eye-opening to you. The fact is there is massive corporate support for gay activism. Massive. I mean, the level of corporate support, the level of major companies here in the greater Charlotte region, our power company is Duke Energy. Duke Energy heavily supports gay activism, openly, proudly. There are supermarkets like Food Lion, openly, proudly supports gay activism. The big banks, Bank of America and Wachovia, one of which is now Wells Fargo, actively, proudly supporting gay activism. You know, almost any computer you use, if you got Apple, if you got Microsoft, they stand with gay activists, goes on and on and on, okay? On and on. And the fact that Chick-fil-A is going to be singled out, Chick-fil-A is going to be singled out because they're supporting marriage and they're standing against same-sex marriage. Look, one person quoted a newspaper article said, look, they should be required to make an equal donation to the human rights campaign. Whatever they donated to the one group that stood against same-sex marriage in Pennsylvania, they should be required to donate also to the human rights campaign, which is actually the homosexual rights campaign, because that's their focus. Let's start a reverse move. Let's start a move instead that if companies have given to the human rights campaign, companies like Pepsi Cola, companies like Bank of America and Wachovia that I mentioned, companies like Duke Energy and Food Lion, list of hundreds of companies, some of the biggest in America have given to them. Let's call on all of them to give an equal amount to focus on the family. How about that? Or the Family Research Council or a group like that. the thing is so completely imbalanced. The thing is so completely crazy that, but we have the bigoted position. We have the bigoted position, and therefore, what we do is wrong. That's their perspective. Okay, listen, I'm not bringing this stuff into the news. It's in the news constantly. Have you heard what one of the daughters of our former president, George Bush, had to say. Let's listen.
I'm Barbara Bush, and I'm a New Yorker for marriage equality. New York is about fairness and equality, and everyone should have the right to marry the person that they love. Join us.
All right, did you hear that? This is the president's daughter, John McCain's wife, former President Bush's wife. You know, what's the problem with same-sex marriage or similar unions? Now a daughter coming out saying everyone should have the right to marry the one they love. Hey, if you oppose that, you're opposing love. Let me ask you a forthright question. I mean, the Chick-fil-A thing is just so crazily absurd. You know, it's just so completely off. How can I express the inequality? How can I express the hypocrisy of it? The charges coming against them. All right. And God bless them for saying that we stand for marriage. I mean, listen to this. They said, we will not champion any political agendas on marriage and family. They should be encouraged to when it's the right thing, but encourage them in the context of who they are and the good job they're doing. They said, this decision has been made and we understand the importance of it. At the same time, we will continue to offer resources to strengthen marriages and families. To do anything different would be inconsistent with our purpose and belief in biblical principles. Well, by all means, we should encourage them. Go there. If you don't normally eat there, you don't like fast food, just go there and thank them and write to the managers and thank them and thank them for their Christian witness and thank them for their hospitality and thank them for their conduct and so on and their graciousness. And if you normally go there more. If you like the chicken there, eat more chicken and tell them, hey, we're in here to express our solidarity with you. But what do you say to someone? What do you say to someone who says, well, you know, Barbara Bush, you know, like she said, you know, you should have the right to marry the one you love. Everyone should have the right to marry the one you love. What do you say to that person? Moms, dads, when your kid comes to you and says, well, what's wrong with it, mommy? What's wrong with it, daddy? Shouldn't everyone be able to marry the one they love? What do you say? What's your answer? 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor, when they come, what's the response? What do you say to them? Let me grab a call before I switch topics here or pepper you with more questions. Mike in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Sure, what's your take on the whole Chick-fil-A thing?
Well, I was listening to Adrian Rogers, and he's passed away. I was listening to a sermon, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and what he said if there were enough people who got together, enough Christians who got together and started protesting, he said we could stop pornography in Memphis, in this city. And it's, I think the same is true with homosexuality, with this whole rising, this whole movement that's going on. If enough Christians who stood up for what they believed in, you know, got out there and started protesting and got out there and started calling their congressmen and started doing something about it instead of sitting back and not doing anything because they feel stupid. The thing is that right now the cool thing to do is to support homosexuality. I go over to Duke University a lot and walk around, and when I walk around, now you see all of these the gay pride flags. I can't think of the name of the flag, but you see them everywhere, and everybody's supporting. It seems like everybody's supporting homosexuality. And if you're against, gay people marrying or gay people being together, or you're against homosexuality, you're not normal. You're not cool. And you know what? That's Jesus. Jesus wasn't cool. Jesus wasn't normal.
Mike, I'm just going to jump in just because we got a break coming up, but. I mean, you are 100% right in terms of the spirit of the age. This is considered the new civil rights movement. This is considered the movement for equality, tolerance, and if you dare speak against it, you're a bigot, you're a Hitler, a jihadist. You can only imagine the attack we've had writing a book on this subject, why no major publisher was willing to go get behind it, why even Christian publishers didn't want to get behind it. And you know, we need to proclaim two things. We need to proclaim loudly, clearly, the love of God for the homosexual community, that Jesus died for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and that we are willing to get involved with their lives, show them the love of God. And at the same time, we absolutely stand against gay activism. Look, if we don't get our courage today, Mike, if we don't speak up today, it's going to be costly to speak up tomorrow. So thank you, sir, for the call and for the alert. college campuses. It's in my book. It's documented. It's a shocker. I'm going to tell you what you can do about it in North Carolina this weekend. Stay with us. Boy, it is a great time to be alive in the service of God. If you don't like conflict, if you don't like controversy, if you don't like battle, if you don't like difficulty, then pray hard for Jesus to come quickly, because we're going to have conflict, difficulty, challenge in this world up until Jesus comes. But he said, be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. Okay, this weekend for excuse me, all of our friends in the greater North Carolina area, we are holding an all-day seminar in Burke, North Carolina. It's about an hour and a quarter, hour and a half outside of Charlotte, called God Has a Better Way. I'm going to talk to you about why these issues about homosexuality, et cetera, are so important for us as believers in the church and in the society. You'll hear testimonies from people who have come out of homosexuality by God's grace. We'll give you practical steps about ministering into these situations. It's an all-day seminar in Burke, open to the public. We're doing it for all of you, sponsored by many churches in the area there. Just go to my homepage, askdrbrown.org, and you'll see it. Just scroll down, you'll see the itinerary, you can get the details. And please, as always, in any local events, if you listen to us on the radio, come and let me know when you come to the event. All right, I have been saying that the problems in society are massive and they're not going away. And the ultimate answer is the gospel of Jesus. And because of that, it's very important that we recognize the role of the evangelist. And it is my joy to have on the air a former student and now a colleague in ministry and an anointed evangelist, Joe Oden. Hey, Joe, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Oh, it's so great to be with you here, Dr. Brown. I know you're in Dallas today, and it's a bit chilly here, isn't it?
Yeah, we're iced in, man. I've got couldn't get to the studio to do the show, and had to cancel classes at Christ for the Nations, where I know you're also doing a class. Joe, you were radically saved a number of years ago. What was your life, in short, before Jesus saved you, and then after he saved you? Kind of give me a nutshell picture of what happened to you.
Right. Well, I was a drug addict, addicted to all different kind of drugs, and really, really rough in that lifestyle. One night, I was on an LSD overdose, and I went home, turned on the television, turned it to TBN, and, you know, that's a wild combination, LSD and TBN. And a man by the name of Jeff Finholt was preaching, who I know you're familiar with. And when he was, the first thing that he said was, some of you that are hooked on drugs are watching this program right now, and you're in a deep, dark cave of drug addiction, and Jesus is in the cave with you. Mm. And the long and short of that is, he said, you're going to come out of the cave, Jesus is coming out with you, and you're going to preach the gospel. And when he said that, the power of God touched me in my lazy boy chair, and I was immediately sobered up off of LSD.
Wow.
Now, for those of you listening that have ever tried that before, you know that that just doesn't happen. And I didn't get saved right then, but God began to draw me. It was a process for me. But I began to pray before I'd go to bed at night, two things: that God would forgive me, and that God would get me in the church. Now, I didn't know exactly how to pray, but it was just saying, God, help me. And one night, while I was doing drugs in Gulf Shores, Alabama, I ran into an undercover police officer. To make a long story short, I got put in jail. I had a judge that kept putting me in jail because I kept on failing my probation. And one of the things that he did, that, you know, God answers prayers in really mysterious ways. This judge, the last time I went before him, he told me that I had to go to church and get the bulletin signed every week by a pastor. And so God had answered my prayer, so I began to go to church. And one night, a gentleman whom you're very familiar with, Bob Gladstone, came to the church I was at, preached.
So you were sentenced to go to church by a judge.
By the judge.
And Bob is a longtime colleague, one of the leaders here with us at FIRE. So you're sentenced by the judge to go to church. True
right.
story here, folks. And you hear a message by Bob Gladstone. By the way, we only have time for the short version of Joe's story. We'll get you to his website for information later to get the full story. But you hear Bob preach, and what happens?
Well, I'd never heard anybody preach like that before. I mean, this guy stood up with fire on him. And just to throw this in there, I'm telling you, there are people that, you know, you may be listening today, and people need the real gospel of Jesus Christ. I never heard it communicated quite like he did, and you could tell that this was a man of prayer. And when he communicated it, it was like lightning in my spirit. I ran up front. I repented of all my sins. I didn't ask God just to forgive me, but I turned from my sins. He prayed for me. I had a real, real experience with Jesus and the power of God, and I walked in that night a drug addict. I walked out set free and on fire for God. I went to work on Friday going to hell, and I know this isn't the most effective form of evangelism, but on Monday I went to work telling people that they were going to go to hell just because I had to let what was on the inside of me come out.
And how many times after that did you fall back into drug addiction?
After that night, I never did LSD. I never smoked dope again. I quit drinking. I got completely, radically delivered and set free from drugs.
All right. That's friends, that's the power of the gospel. I can attest to the same power in my life. All right, Joe, we've got about a minute and a half before the first break here. But you have been preaching since then. I remember you as a student going on the streets preaching. Now God's using you powerfully in America and in different nations. Do you still see that same kind of power where people are radically changed like that? Was it something exceptional that happened to you, or do you actually see this happening to other people on a regular basis?
You know, I love what evangelist Reinhard Bonnke says. One of his statements is, Jesus will be whatever you preach him to be.
Mm.
If you preach a saving Jesus, Jesus will save. If you preach a healing Jesus, Jesus will heal. If you preach a delivering Jesus, Jesus will deliver. And I find that, I believe it was C.T. Studd that said that people like to live within the sound of church bells, and I want to plan a work a yard outside of hell. I believe, you know, you need no anointing to sit on a church pew. You know, people say, Joe, pray for me for a double portion, and they're not even doing a portion for what they've already been given.
Mm-hmm.
And when you step outside of the confines of the church and where people need the gospel, Jesus said, I didn't come for those that have a doctor, but for those that don't. The anointing of God rises. And yes, when you take the gospel to somebody that's hurting and you preach it and, you light it on fire by prayer. Yeah, you see the power of God, and I see the power of God, and all of our listeners would see the power of God if they step out. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power.
All right, hey, Joe, we're up against a break. We come back. I want to hear a couple of testimonies of people that you've seen radically saved going on with God. And then we want to talk about the importance of the role of the evangelist in the church today. Back with more, friends. Stay with us. Hi, this is going to be an anointed 5 minutes with my special guest, Joe Oden, a man truly called and anointed to be an evangelist. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. I'm not going to be taking any calls, so just sit back and listen. Joe, one thing that always blesses me when you come and speak at our congregation in North Carolina is you always have fresh testimonies. And they're not just testimonies that happened in a church building somewhere. They're testimonies that happened in a gas station, other places, because you are living this out. You are an evangelist by nature and by calling. And I want to talk about the importance of the role of the evangelist in the body and what we're missing with that. But first, just share a favorite testimony or two, because I want to build people's faith and encourage them in the power of the gospel.
Okay, yeah. I got two stories, one, however you want me to do it. Let me give you the first one here that just has come to me. I was in a Subway restaurant one day, and there was a Buddhist behind the counter. And, you know, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. And I didn't have to have a special leading to know, does God want to save this wonderful Buddhist lady? I just asked her if she ever felt the power of God. I laid hands on her. I prayed that God would touch
her
life.
Wait, so you invited her to a church service at a later time, and you didn't lay hands on her right there in the shop?
Yeah, right there. Jesus didn't send his disciples out to come ask them, to ask the folks to come hear him preach at the first synagogue church of Jerusalem.
Okay.
he sent them out to preach the kingdom of heaven. So I laid hands on her, and I'm leaving. I'm almost out the back of Subway, and she started to yell at me, "Sir, there's something on me. Sir, there's something on me." And she said, "I do not know what it is." And I turned around and just said, "It's Jesus." And when I did, 20 feet away from her, in the middle of the restaurant, she doubled over and broke and began to weep under the power of God. I stepped behind the counter. I laid hands on her. I began to pray with her. We took an idol off of her. Now this lady, if you've never been to a foreign country, she's 20 years, lives in China, only a couple months in America. This woman was 20 years a Buddhist. And one word at the name of Jesus, Buddhism was broken. And the kingdom of God came upon her. She laid down her Buddhism. She got saved. 2 months later, she called me. And she said, "When you came in that day and started to minister to me," she said, "I knew it was real." She said, "Because 2 months before I ever met you," she said, "I had a dream, and you were in it, preaching me the gospel of Jesus. And when you came in that day, I knew it was real, and I no longer pray to Buddha, only Jesus."
Praise God. All right, Joe, the thing that's amazing is that I've heard quite a number of testimonies like this from you. Maybe another day we can get on the air and talk some more. But
yeah,
just in the time we have remaining, the role of the evangelist is really misunderstood or just missing in the body. You know, we
yes.
use the title pastor for just about every form of ministry. And the evangelist, we think, is maybe someone that just travels and speaks instead of staying in one place. Set the record straight on that. What is the role of the evangelist, and why is it so critical that we recover that today?
Absolutely. Ephesians 4:11 really identifies, I believe, the key primary role of the evangelist today, and that is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, as an evangelist, I travel and preach. I hold revivals, and, you know, I came out of the Brownsville revival, so I burn for the manifestation of the power of God. But not just equal to, but just as important, is the role that the evangelist not only mobilizes, but equips and ignites and imparts on how to effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I just want to ask all of our listeners, as I ask every seminar that I do around America or the different Bible schools that I go to, is how many of you right now can say, "I know 10 scriptures in the Bible that I can give you chapter and verse from on how to effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ?" And mostly 7 to 12% of people raise their hand when I ask that question. And we wonder why there is a decline of people getting saved in America. It's because people do not know how to communicate the basics of the gospel. And it's more than the Romans Road. You can get somebody to confess with their mouth, but if you haven't communicated to them what sin is and what it is to repent of your sins, nowhere in the Bible does it say just say a prayer and you're saved. Jesus didn't teach that. The apostles didn't teach that. You've got to know what the Bible says concerning so many different aspects of salvation.
Hey, Joe, I'm going to jump in. Listen, we will get you back on to talk more about the role of the evangelist in the body today. Joe's website is linked at ours, but you can go to Joe Oden, Ministries. That is O-D-E-N, JoeOdenMinistries.com. Hey, Joe, thanks for being with us, man. Keep the fire burning.
Okay, buddy. God bless you, man.
Bless you. Friends, it has been a joy to be with you from snowy, icy Dallas, Texas. Michael Brown, I was so looking forward to the broadcast yesterday, and then snow, ice, other factors, inability to get to the studio on time, we were not able to broadcast live, but you did get to hear part of my testimony yesterday. And tomorrow, I'm going to share some things with you that I think are going to stir your heart, so make sure you tune in. It blesses me to talk to someone like Joe because they remind us by their own life testimony and by the ongoing witness they see that Jesus really changes lives. You know, I always want to be a voice of alarm in terms of sounding the alarm here, but the greater alarm is the awakening that must take place in the body so that we can bring awakening to our society. Jesus transforms people. Someone said people transform society. A church revived, full of fire, preaching Jesus is the only hope of the nation. There is no political solution. There is no moral solution. There is no social solution. So I bring to your attention the needs around us to sound the alarm and to be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution so that we can be what God's called us to be, repent where we need to repent, and go out and make a difference in our world. And the role of an evangelist, very important, not just to do the work, but to equip God's people to do the work. I promised you just a quick update on what's happening in Egypt. When I did an interview with Dr. Jeff Seif on Monday, we were talking about things in Egypt and Islamic fundamentalism. I took for granted that folks in the media all knew about the Muslim Brotherhood and their origins and their radicalism, only to find out that that report was coming a few days later, that many were not aware or aware of how wrong it was to be siding with them. There's a tremendous book called Icon of Evil. It's about Haji Amin al-Husseini, who was a colleague of Hitler, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, helped spawn the modern radical Islamic movement, helped spawn their intifadas in Israel back in the 30s because of Haji Amin al-Husseini, coming against the Jewish people long before there was a state of Israel. You can read about origins of Muslim Brotherhood and these other groups in that book. I'm not selling it, simply recommending it. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. We've got a link to that book, Icon of Evil, about Haji Amin al-Husseini. So it's about his own life. It's about the rise of radical Islam. And when I look at this, you've got the rise of radical Islam on the one hand. You've got the massive problems within the church and our own hypocrisy and compromise. You've got the massive problems in the society. We could talk about abortion. We could talk about gay activism. We could talk about a host of other things that are concerns. The answer is the same answer in the Middle East and in America. So let me give you my bottom line. Friends, let us, in an uncompromising, unashamed way, be followers of Jesus. Let us, in an uncompromising and unashamed way, live out the gospel in our own lives. Let us, in an uncompromising, unashamed way, preach the gospel, share the gospel, declare the gospel with wisdom, with compassion, with sensitivity, but with the hope that Jesus truly changes lives, that Jesus truly transforms servants of Satan and makes them into servants of God, that Jesus truly is the hope, be it of the Muslim world or the Hindu world or the atheist world or the homosexual world or the liberal world or whatever the world is, Jesus himself, not a system of religion, not words about him alone, but Jesus himself conveyed through words and witness is the hope of every nation, every society. Don't be ashamed of him. I've urged that before. I want to urge it again. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the message associated with him. Don't be ashamed of his power to change lives. And pray in your own life that the power of the gospel would be demonstrated, that the world would see that we followers of Jesus have been redeemed and changed, and we really do have the answer. It is Jesus. Make him known. Back with you tomorrow, right here on the Line of Fire.